If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, You shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And a servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then Jesus goes into a discourse. If they were Abraham's seed, they would know him. And that they are not of the seed of Abraham. He said that your father is a devil, and he is a liar from the beginning. And he goes on down through that word of God. And some of them in their smart talk, and their trying to insult the Lord. They called him a wine bibber. They called him everything. And they said in the 48th verse, Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? They couldn't have called him a dirtier name than they called him right then. Okay. But Jesus just turned to him again. And then he went on to say in the 51st verse of that, he said, as he began to talk to him, Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou said, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead, which makest thou thyself? Yeah. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet ye have not known him.
No.
I want you to notice this now. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I would be a liar unto you. But I know him, and I have kept his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
And they took up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself from them and passed on through the crowd. But I want to preach tonight when you really become acquainted with the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I have read these scriptures over and over again. And somehow or other, God revealed to me tonight when Jesus said to them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. I do not believe like the Mormons try to teach. I don't believe it was up in heaven that Abraham knew the Lord, but I believe it was right down here on earth that Abraham became acquainted with the Lord. And so therefore, Jesus could say, He rejoiced to see my day, and He saw it, and He was glad.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If ever a time when we really get to know the Lord tonight, it's when we really see the Lord just like He is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Pharisees were serving a dead God.
Yeah.
They told Jesus that Abraham had been dead for many years.
Yeah.
But Jesus was teaching them a living God. He was teaching them a God that he could say to those people, If you keep my saying, you shall never taste death.
Praise God.
Praise God. He was trying to show those Pharisees that had kept the law and had destroyed all of their faith in the one true God. He's trying to tell those people that if you have known me, you'll never see death. He's trying to tell them that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God tonight for the revelation of who the Lord is.
Oh, yeah.
The story that I want to use tonight concerning Abraham knowing God, and I believe that we would go right back to it if we was looking into the Word of God, is when he offered his son Isaac a sacrifice out on Mount Moriah. The Bible teaches us that Abraham said to those men, he said, "You just stay here, and me and the lads are going to go up here and worship." And you know the story as well as I do tonight. But I want you to notice something. Abraham took Isaac, his seed, the one that was supposed to follow after him.
Yeah.
And the nations of the world were supposed to be blessed. And he took him on Mount Moriah. And he offered him a sacrifice. And as he started to raise the instrument of death and to take the life of his son Isaac, God spoke to Abraham, and he told him not to lay thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw a ram caught in the bushes. Let me tell you something tonight. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, "I'm going to name this place Jehovah, Jireh, or the Lord provideth." And Christ has always been a provider. Christ has always been all that we need. And so Abraham saw the Lord right there in that ram that was caught in the thicket. I can almost see Abraham as tears rolled down his cheeks as he took that ram. And he offered it a sacrifice on the altar for the sins of the people. Why did you do it, Abraham? Because God provided a sacrifice for me. Abraham found the sight of God that he had never known before. He found the one that could supply the needs that he had in his life. And so he just said, "I'm going to call this Jehovah Jireh," which means the Lord is the supplier. After Abraham offered that sacrifice that day, that God began to promise him all the blessings that come with him. He had never heard such words coming from the Lord, as the Lord told him that I will bless thee and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Abraham walked away from that scene that day. Jesus could say, "Before Abraham was, I am."
Yes,
and he rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And he was glad.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And I'm glad tonight because we can know the Lord.
Yes.
Sometimes we think we've got the only generation and the only dispensation that they know the Lord. But I want you to know that God has been a faithful witness to his people. He has allowed them to know him all down through the ages. In the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find as Jacob, his mother told him that Esau was after him and he was going to kill him. And we find that Jacob finally took off across country, and he left Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for a pillow, and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up from earth to heaven.
Uh-huh.
It reached up there, and behold, he saw angels descending and ascending down to where he was at.
Yeah.
I want you to know he was getting acquainted with a God that was going to be with him.
Right.
And he was knowing him in the power of, again, of something that he had never known him before.
Right.
And the Bible said that Jacob, and I will not take time to read the story, but the Bible said that Jacob took those old stones that he laid on, and he stood them upright, He made that pole a pillar in the church, and he anointed it with oil, and he said these words, that this I'm going to call this place Bethel, the house of the Lord. And he bowed a vow unto God, and he said, God, if you'll be with me and keep me in the way that I will go, and give me bread and to eat and raiment to wear, and the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house.
Yeah.
And all that thou give me, I will surely give you a tenth of it. And he makes some dedications to God that day when he got acquainted with the Lord.
Amen.
And it never left him, because somehow or other he had got acquainted with the Lord. And we see Jacob again as he was alone, and he was facing Esau. And the Bible said that he went over across the brook, and he was alone. And the Bible teaches us that he started a prayer meeting with God. And that prayer meeting was so intense that he wrestled with God all night long.
Oh, yes.
And the Lord finally touched him, the hollow of his thigh. And as Jacob lived up, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel.
Yeah.
And as he looked off over the hill, no doubt, and to the place where he had prayed and he had met God, the Bible said that he returned to it. And this time he said, I'm going to call this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Oh, the beautiful experience tonight, when you can really understand God, when you know what he's talking about, when you know what he's trying to do. What God was trying to do to Jacob is change that old boy from a schemer to the prince of all men. He was changing his name, and he called him Israel because he wanted him to really know him. And I really believe tonight that God wants us to dig in deeper than we've ever dug before. I don't really know what's out there, but I do know one thing, that God wants us to dig in deeper than we ever have before. Praise the Lord. Joseph saw God in a dream, and he dreamed a dream. But all the things that was in between those dreams. Sometimes we don't take in consideration the thing that's in between the dreams. I heard of a sermon that Brother Terry preached one time at one of our meetings, and he used for his text that Joseph dreamed a dream. And then he filled in the dream of Joseph. And then he filled in his own dream of 6 and some odd years while standing beside his precious wife until God seemed fit to take her off. Oh, I want you to know tonight, you can really get acquainted with God, and you can really know God in the fullness. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was a man that was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was never really probably got to know God like he'd like to know him. And he tried to kill the Egyptians one by one. He got one, but the second one, he decided that wasn't the way to do it. And he fled into the wilderness. He finally got a job keeping the flock on the backside of the desert, and that don't sound very exciting to me. But one day, as he was keeping his father's flock, and he was walking along, and all of a sudden, he looked over and a bush was burning.
Oh, yes, he did.
He'd never seen anything like that before.
No.
He watched it, and it was not consumed.
No.
And it began to burn, and it was not consumed. And all of a sudden, God spoke to him and said, Moses, put off thy shoes, for the ground wherein thou standest is holy ground.
Yeah, amen.
And I can see old Moses as he reached down and he slipped off his sandals. And he began to stand there before God, no doubt with tears rolling down his cheeks, trying to find a direction, trying to know what it all meant, because Moses had never been taught in the ways of God. He left a mother when she was just a very young boy. and he'd never been taught. Then all of a sudden, God spoke these words to Moses. And as he began to speak, he said, Moses, I'm the God of thy father.
Right.
I'm the God of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac. And you're standing right now in the presence of the God that appeared unto Abraham when he started to offer his son Isaac a sacrifice. You're standing in the presence of the Almighty God. And Moses stood there before God as God began to talk to him. And God began to deal with him. He said, I have appeared unto you for a purpose. And that is to take the children out of Egypt bondage. And Moses began to make excuses. And, and he said unto God, he said, God, when I get out of there, they won't believe me because I left there. And I rushed out of there and they won't believe me. And they said, let me tell you something. When you get down there to talk to those people, you just say that I am sent you. And Moses said, that's all you want me to say? He said, yes, just say, I am that I am sent you.
That's it.
Sounds strange. But then he said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent you down here to deliver me out. I want you to know that God opened into that mind of that man, Moses, the most meekest person on the earth, a knowledge of what God really was going to do and who God was.
Amen.
And Moses found him to be a partner with him. He found him to be a God that could deliver. He found him to be a God that could roll the waters back and let them walk through dry shine.
Mm-hmm.
He found him to be a God that their clothes would not wear out. He found him to be a God that would feed them with manna from heaven and supply their needs. He found him to be a God that could supply water in the midst of the desert just from an old rock. And old Paul was so excited about reading about that. He said, did not we all break to that same spiritual rock? And that rock was Christ?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. They were acquainted with a God that we have the privilege of knowing today.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And they found that he was a God that could fight their battles. They found him a God that was ever real. And I'm glad tonight that when Jesus said to that bunch of ungodly Jews, he said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day.
Mm-hmm.
He was glad. And that old man Abraham placed within the hearts of his followers something that was stable and something was genuine, something was beautiful. Did you ever think about the first words that God spoke to Abraham as he left his homeland? He said, Abraham, I want you to walk before me, and I want you to be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, he set a charge to that old man when he took off, and Abraham rejoiced the day that God showed him the ram, because he was made to realize that every place God would help him, and God would fight his battle. Praise the Lord. In the Word of God, Elijah was a man that we look up to. He was the one that called fire down from heaven. He was the one that caused it not to rain for 3 years. He was the one that we get excited about and we talk about. But there come a time in Elijah's life that he was going through a real trial. He asked God to even kill him. And he was running from Jezebel.
Yeah.
And I tell you, a man's in pretty bad shape when he's running from a woman. And he was doing it because he was scared to death of what was going to happen. And then there was a great wind come through, and it just rent the mountains, and it just broke the treetops down, and it was a storm like some we have back east, and old Elijah thought, God's in that, but the Bible said God wasn't in it. And then there was a great earthquake come through, and it just shook the whole land around him, and fire come through, and the Bible said that the Lord was not in the fire. It was not in the earthquake. And then there was just a little still voice. And that's when Elijah really got to know God.
Yes.
We want something great to happen, but I want you to know tonight, sometimes it's when you're standing by the bedside of a loved one.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when it's you're in deep trouble. Sometimes when you don't know which way to turn, God just speaks so softly to you.
Yeah.
And the Bible said when he heard that little, still, small voice, he wrapped the mantle of God around about him, and he began to talk to the Lord. The next book in the Bible, the 2 Kings, we see him going away in a chariot of fire, and the mantle falling down to Elisha. He made it, hallelujah. After he got acquainted with God in some other way than maybe just what he thought that he wanted to know. But I feel tonight that God, in his beautiful way, he wants us to know him. Paul, in his writing in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and he sort of sets himself up. He said, I was circumcised and the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. And I can just almost see Paul as he's talking. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Ye doubtlessly I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him. I believe that Paul wanted to know the Lord on a side that he's never known him before.
Yes.
I believe that Paul didn't want his salvation to become stagnant. He wanted to know God in a greater way than he'd ever known him before.
Oh, yes, he did.
Why would you say it, Paul, when you speaks of being caught up in the Corinthians in the third heavens and receiving things not even lawful? Why would you say, Paul, you wanted to know the Lord and that you were used of God to raise the dead and different things of this kind? I'll tell you why he said it. Because he wanted to know God in a greater way than he'd ever known him before. And he said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection.
Right.
And I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Sister Woodrow and I will be married 43 years next week. Week after next. And I have known her in some highlights of our life. We have been jubilant over things that's happened to us. God has been good to us. But some of the most precious moments that I have ever remembered in my life is when I have stood by her bedside when she was sick. And to the bedside of our children when they were sick. And she said that I'd only been in the hospital a little while. There was quite some anxious moments about me in 1975. You almost got a new pastor. And she was by my side. But that suffering that Paul's talking about, that's some of the ways that we can know him. God wants us to know him. I love the power of God, and I love the shouting. I love the things that goes with Abraham when he said he was one of the richest men that ever lived. And I love the way that God blessed Abraham, and he looked to the hills, and and God just give him things. But I love the way that he stood that day with the only son he had. And the only thing that he had was life that really meant that much to him. And he stood one day in the suffering of the Lord. And he heard God speak these words. Now I know. Sometimes God wants to speak to us like that. I didn't know that you loved me like that. And I put you to a test, and you stood the test. And Paul said, I want to know you in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. I want to know. Praise God tonight. And what a beautiful thing it is tonight to know the Lord. All down through the Word of God. And we look to the Lord and we realize that men, and I could preach all night about men, the way they have learned to know God. And somehow or other, through the medium of suffering, sometimes the joy of the Lord, whatever it might be, I think that we could say with Jesus that day, that if you know me, if you really know me, if you really know me, you're going to never, never die. Praise the Lord. If you really know me. I'm not looking for anything. And I know that they judged him in this saying in Luke. He spoke almost the same words. And he made fun of him. But he said, you'll never see death. We're just a dressing room down here. And the more we know about the Lord, the better it's going to be. Us get better acquainted with the Lord. Us make up our mind that we're going to seek his face. And he said before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. I'd like to stand together and sing that old song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 45. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry. Everything to him in prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, what peace we often find.